what we're talking about today is really the engine. Really, love is the engine that drives the rest of the train. For without love, there is no joy, there is no peace, and there is no hope without love. Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians 13, there is those three great, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. That's what we see this morning as we're reminded of the Christmas story we read in Luke chapter 2. As we come to just pause from the other Christmas celebrations and family and all those things that are a part of Christmas, but we come to consider the event, the love that literally split time in half. You know that how we measure our clock, our calendar rather, we know B.C. before Christ, A.D. after Christ, split by the birth of Jesus Christ. We find these words in verse number 3 of chapter 3 of Titus. Listen to what it says. For we also were once foolish ourselves, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy and hateful, hating one another. And if you circle things in your Bible, here's a word to circle right here in verse number 4. This is one of the most significant verses in the Bible. But. In spite of those things in verse number 3, but when the kindness of God our Savior and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we might be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy statement. And concerning these things, I want you to speak confidently so that those who have believed in God may be careful to engage in good deeds. These things are good and profitable for men. I want to talk about these words of love this morning. First of all, about the story of Christmas. Love conceived the story of Christmas. Love alone conceived the story of Christmas. The song was written several years ago, back in the 2009, I believe it was, at a Christmas musical. And the title of the song was this: Only Love Could Write This Story. You know, you and I didn't write the Christmas story, and Luke didn't write the Christmas story. Luke simply recounted what he had been told about the birth and the coming of the Savior of the world. John echoed this in John chapter 1, beginning in verses 1 through 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. We're talking about Jesus. All things came into being through Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. And in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And that light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw His glory. Glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Love conceived this story. It wasn't made up. It wasn't something that, listen, that I've heard in recent days some pastors offer, that maybe the birth of Christ happened the way that it happened. Maybe she was a virgin. Maybe she wasn't. Let me be very definitive this morning. It is true. I have rested my entire life on it, and it doesn't matter if a culture doubts it or thinks that it's so strange and so odd. Don't think that 2,000 years ago the talk of a virgin birth was strange and odd then as it is today. But it is incredibly important in the theology of salvation that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, sinless, lived a sinless life, and died a sinner's death for you and for me. Listen, love conceived the story of Christmas. And it happened in God's timing. I don't know about you, but I don't always understand God's timing. Maybe you do a little bit better than I do, but I don't always understand God's timing. But I know that God has a perfect timing. He's never slow. He's never late. He's always on time in your life when it doesn't even seem like it is. Listen to what Galatians 4:4 says. But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law. It was love that conceived Christmas. Connection is restored to creation. We can commune once again with our Creator to have that relationship that was destroyed because of sin. If love hadn't written the story, we would be talking about a Christmas without a promise of eternity, without a promise of heaven. Can you imagine this morning your life without Christ? Have you ever stopped and considered what would your life be like if love had not conceived the story of Christmas? Not only did love conceive the story of Christmas, secondly, love came to us. Love came to us. God did what you and I could not do, and we would not do because we are bent towards sin and our flesh. The Bible is so clear about the story of salvation of mankind that it was God who sought you out, that it was God who did the work. Titus 3:4, the verse we read, what does it say here? But when the kindness of God our Savior and His love for mankind appeared, it was God who did it. Titus chapter 2, verse 11, you can flip back a chapter and see this. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men. God's grace appeared. On a night 2,000 years ago, whether it was to this specific day or not, we don't really know. But that's not the point. The point of the story is that love came. That I couldn't reach out to God, that only God could reach to me. And He did it. In 1 John, we see these incredible words. 1 John chapter 4, verse 9, what does it say? But this is the love of God that was manifested in us, that God sent His only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through Him. He becomes that name given in the book of Isaiah, Emmanuel, Jesus, God with us. Can you just stop and pause for a moment? That the one who flung the stars into space, his hands, tiny hands, were held by a Jewish teenage girl and a scared man named Joseph. He did it. The stargazer, his eyes had seen the entire universe and yet now was looking into the eyes of his mother, Mary, dependent, needy upon those two people that he had created himself. What love for creation. What distance God was willing to go to restore a broken humanity. To even go to hell itself for you and for me. Folks, do you realize this morning, my Mount Vernon friends are here this morning. I'm glad y'all are here this morning. Thank you. Don't you stop. You go right ahead. It's going to wake the rest of them up. It's good. I talked about Brother Carlos merging our church on the two Sundays y'all have early church, and that's fine. We're so glad y'all are here, ladies. The rest of y'all can wake up and help them along now, right? That's good. What do we see happen? We see God's kindness, His love, and His mercy. We're reminded of the story of how David treated Mephibosheth. A relative of King Saul, David takes over. In that day and time, when a new king took over, they would typically slaughter the incoming family if it was a change of dynasty. And yet David finds young Mephibosheth. He finds him there. And he's crippled. And he can't get away. But he doesn't want him to get away. What does he want to do? He wants to declare and give grace and kindness and mercy. Folks, that's what Jesus did for you and for me. Love came to us. Not only did love conceive the Christmas story, not only did love come to us, thirdly, love changes us. Verse number 3 reminds us of what we once were. Now, some of us would say, well, I wasn't really there because I was 8 or 9 or 10 or 11 years old, so I didn't really do all those things, so I really can't relate to that exactly. But let me tell you something. That's what God saved you of what you could have become and what you could have walked through in your life. But thank God, many of you, you did not have to experience those difficult moments. And here Paul says to young Titus, remember where you once were, or for many of you, where you once could have been. But here's the bottom line. No matter where you once were, if you were 8 or you're 12 or you were 25 when you found Christ as your Savior and your Lord, listen to me, then I know this much. If it's God's love, it will change you. And it will change me. Love changes us. Love just doesn't keep us where we are. Love is not something that we put on a manger scene and we look at it and it's inanimate. It has no bearing on our lives. Folks, love is a verb. Love is an action. It is something that Christ did on your behalf and mine. Love changes us. Here's the question, though, this morning. JR read it right here. Have you allowed Christmas to change you? Have you allowed the love of Christmas to change your heart? Notice the fourth thing, love cost us. Love cost not only really us, but more than that, it cost Jesus everything. We find it in the cry of the cross. Back in chapter 2, Paul tells Titus in chapter 2, verses 13 and 14, listen to what he says. Looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of our glory of our great God and Savior Christ Jesus, who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds. 1 John 4:10 echoes the same thing, and this is love. And this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins, a sacrifice, the replacement. Because folks, here's the reality. Sin costs God everything. And it costs us too. We just don't stop and consider it often enough. Because that sin cost Jesus his life that he willingly gave for us. We can find this morning the shadow of the cross is lying over the manger. It was a sacrifice like no other sacrifice in human history. You find no other religion that we find that the God would come and die for his creation. But that is exactly what God did on your behalf and mine. Would you stop this morning and consider the cost of love? Notice the next thing in verses 5 and 6, love's commitment to us. Love's commitment to us, and again, it's not based on what you did. It's based on what he did on your behalf and mine. And here's the good news. Here's some good news this morning. Jesus is committed to you even when you're not committed to him. Aren't you glad this morning? I know I'm glad because there are times my committer gets broken, right? There are times when I get tired and weary. There are times when circumstances, I sometimes lose my grip. But here's the good news. Jesus never loses his grip on his children, ever. And it doesn't matter where you are or what you're walking through today, dear friend, or what your family members are walking through, or what anybody that you know, listen to me carefully. Love costs. Love changes. And listen to me, love is committed and it will never, ever, ever let you go. It doesn't matter what I do. Because it's based on what God did. It's based on that Hebrew word. My favorite Hebrew word is the word hesed. It's this word that means covenant, faithful love that God offered to the nation of Israel, that God offers to you and to me this morning if we will but embrace it. And what does he do when we receive that love? The Bible says here in verses 5 and 6 that he regenerates us. He makes us brand new. He transforms us. Is what the word means. Not only does he regenerate us, he renews us day by day. He is growing us, transforming us into the image of Jesus Christ. And how does that happen? It happens through the power of the Holy Spirit, right? Now, we have our part to play, but listen to me. It is all about what Jesus does through the power of the Holy Spirit. And here's the good news, folks. Jesus is not chintzy. Jesus is not cheap. Now, some of you, you're going to get to go do some family Christmas things today. Right? And some of you, your relatives are cheap. I know none of you do that, right? Right? None of you are going to give a cheap gift or you're going to re-gift, right? We sure don't do that, right? I had some friends in my life that maybe I'm a cheap giver too, I don't know. But sometimes we feel like somebody's gypped us off of something, right? Folks, listen to me. The Bible says here that Jesus richly poured out the Holy Spirit. God just doesn't give it in small little doses or, well, listen, if you do this, you do that, I'm going to give. No, he says, I will richly pour out my blessings on you through the power of the Holy Spirit of God. That's what he'll do. Folks, God is committed to you. And here's the question, are we committed to him? Our response to God's commitment to us should be, oh God, help me. As I depend upon you to be committed to you. Notice, love calls to us this morning as well. Love calls to us. The invitation is clear this morning to come and worship. The invitation given to the shepherds that Christmas Eve night or Christmas Day, however it rolled out. The angels appear and they go and they get to come and to see that which had been prophesied, that which had been foretold, that which had been promised for generation after generation. And these shepherds get to witness it. Some 2 years later, some wise men appear on the scene that had been following a star, the light. And there they come and they worship. The invitation this morning is that love calls us to worship. Not only to worship, the second thing he calls us to do is to receive the gift. Jesus offers to you and to me a gift that is so marvelous, so magnificent, so costly, and yet, here's the kicker, it cost you nothing. only thing that he asks for us to do is to receive it. It's a gift. I mean, just think about it. If somebody gave you some gift today and you're like, no, I don't deserve that. Right? Don't give me that gift. I so appreciate that. You're so kind. You're so gracious. Let's say it's not the chintzy giving people, all right? It's the really, I mean, a big gift, you know. It's the Santa Claus commercial. It's the family ask, and there's the Mercedes Benz. The adults run outside and get their Christmas present. The two kids are going, good grief, right? Maybe it's that gift. And we say, no, I'm not worthy of that. I don't want that gift. Well, by the way, if you get that gift and you don't want it, we'll be glad to take it for you, all right? We'll, right? You get the idea, right? What do we have to, receive it. We don't have to earn it. We receive it. We say, Lord, I will take that. Love's covenant to us. What does God promise? To justify us. What does that mean? It is the gracious act of God whereby he declares a believing sinner righteous. Not because of who he is, but because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. God puts to our account the righteousness of his Son so that we can be condemned no more. If you know Jesus Christ this morning, love's gift is that you're justified. And that secondly, you're made an heir of God. You're made an heir of God. When you breathe your last breath on this earth, and you know Christ is Savior and Lord, he promises, I will make you my heir. The last one is this, is love compels us to do two things quickly. Number one, to live a godly life. To live a godly life. Why? That's what we do in response to God's love. We don't do it so God will love us. We don't do it so God will like us or approve us. We do it because God loved us. We then say, Lord, I want to live a godly, transformed life. And why is that significant? Because a watching and a waiting world wants to really see, church. Listen to me, this Christmas, I love the fact you're here because to me it's a powerful testimony to your neighbors that you're not at home on Sunday. That you're in God's house celebrating God's Son's birthday. That's a testimony. Why do we do those good deeds? To make a difference in somebody's life? Yes, but you know what? Your deeds, Titus verse 8 says here in chapter 3, that they are a witness to a lost and a dying world that God is real. The God that you say that you serve, you show that you serve. And then not only that, we proclaim it. We share it with others this Christmas. Don't know where you'll be after this service is over. Maybe you're going to families for lunch, and maybe you'll encounter some of your family members that are lost and don't know Christ. May I plead with you today that you would feel love's compelling call to share with them the most important thing. And maybe you have to do like I do, and I did back growing up. I was in college and into my adult years, and so once I got to be and have the title preacher, when you go to family gatherings, or quite frankly, whenever you go anywhere, when it's time to pray, nobody as a layperson can pray. Only a preacher somehow has special powers that only they can pray. And so at my family gatherings with my mom's side of my family, her brother and family, and so we try to have these conversations about the gospel and just wouldn't go anywhere. It was just like a rocket. It was like a hot, it was like a fruitcake. It just down it went. It was heavy. It was hard. It just fell right there. And so one year I decided, you know what I'm going to do? So they're going to ask me to say the prayer. Awesome. I got a captive audience. So I just said, Dear Lord Jesus, thank you today that I can admit to you that I'm a sinner, that I can ask you to forgive me. I just preached the whole gospel, about a five-minute prayer, preached a mini sermon right there, and they couldn't go anywhere. I mean, I know they were squirming, and they were looking around going, oh my goodness, but by God, they heard the gospel in a prayer. So maybe you just need to pray a prayer like that, that love would compel you to your neighbor, to your coworker, to your friend, to your child, to your classmate at school. Love compels us to share the love of Christmas. Would you pray with me this morning? Father, thank you for the truth of your word this morning. God, it is powerful. And Lord, it is very sweet to me this morning. Lord, I know it's Christmas Day, and so many, Lord, our minds are on gifts and meals to eat and all the things that come this week. But Lord Jesus, I pray in this holy moment, as we have talked about love, of what love does, that love changes us, love calls us, love compels us, that love came to us. There was a great cost of love that was given. And Lord, I pray for any person this morning that has never answered the call of love, that this morning on Christmas Day, can you imagine their spiritual birthday to be on Christmas Day, that they would come to find you as their Savior and as their Lord, to admit to you they're a sinner, to ask you to forgive them of all of their sins, to believe you're the Son of the living God, to confess you as their Savior. They cannot save themselves and commit their life to you as the Lord for the rest of their days. I pray they'd come. Pray that prayer. Find Chris right at the front. Maybe some have already made the decision. They never made it public. Let people know. And they're compelled this morning. I want the world and my church family to know that I know Jesus and I followed him as my Lord and Savior. Others to come and join this church family. Others to come to this altar to do business with the Lord. Whatever it is God's calling you to do, I pray we would do it right now as we worship together. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's